A good friend of mine, many of you know, Joseph Anocci, pastored in Ghana. He went home to be with the Lord in 2009, and I have a few of these. One year he brought them when I lived up north, and he gave me that. This is how we are to treat people, like they're a fragile egg. This is a Ghanaian proverb. We're to treat people in a way that shows them God's love. It doesn't repel them. It doesn't accentuate our opinions, which I have many. But we're going to move forward. Today I'm going to start a series I've been praying about for a couple years, and what I'm doing, I'm calling it God's Starting Point. You know, in the next month, weeks, months, we're going to talk about various things. We're going to talk about how God, you know, that there are fruits of the Spirit that have to be evident in our life. We're going to talk about various giftings that God gives us. But if we don't get this chapter right that I'm talking about, we will indeed miss the boat. Now, if you have been to a wedding like mine on June 21st, 1980, you probably not mistakenly, you heard this chapter, probably taken out of context. But this is how we are supposed to live. And Paul writes, "If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing." Oh, you may have a podcast. You might have a following. But God says, nothing. "If I give away all I have, and I deliver my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind." This has to describe us. "Love does not envy or boast." You're going to read this and say, "I don't have that down good." We got the Spirit so we can grow in this. "It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in the mirror dimly. Lord, let us understand that. But then face to face. Now I know in part. Then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. So now, faith, hope, and love abide, these three. But the greatest of these is love." Lord God, we live in a world of division. We live in a world of agendas. New Covenant Community Church's agenda is Jesus Christ. Bringing people to the understanding of your love. You use the supernatural at times. We're not going to open up a school of supernatural. We're going to talk about your word. And we are going to say, "Lord, we're going to focus on you. Will you do miracles? Of course you will. Part of my testimony is, Lord, you miraculously healed me and brought me closer to you. You spoke a word to me." 2 Corinthians 12:9. "That your grace is sufficient for me. For your power is made perfect in my weakness." It enabled me to finally say yes to what you asked me to do. But Lord, we want to focus on Jesus Christ. And we have to read these words. And we have to understand, if we do not show your love to this world, we will not make an eternal difference. I thought about what George said a couple weeks ago. You sent out the disciples two by two. Judas Iscariot healed people and drove out demons. We want to focus on you alone, Lord. Daily we see our need for this country, Lord. I thought about the young man my daughter taught. From everything it sounds like, and it's not my call, he didn't know you, Lord. That has to break our hearts. I pray that you would help us, Lord. Be the people that you have called us to be, Lord. And help us, Father God, to show your love. You know, my wife was in the dollar store yesterday. Long line behind her as she's checking out. And the lady goes, hey, checking her out. I've been thinking about you this week. She said, really? She said, yeah. I just found out some news. I had a diagnosis I'm not happy with. Would you pray for me? Now, my wife has never said I'm a pastor's wife, nothing like that. She said to her, because you're always nice to me and you're always kind, I want you to pray for me. So Mel, you know I'm doing that. And she goes, so you know I'm going to go back, I'm going to take her out to coffee. What is that doing? That's showing love to people, that opens the door to the gospel. Again, you know, Pete Mayer and I were talking about this a couple weeks ago. Like in June, I have Mike Bartholomew coming down because as we start looking at Corinthians, I'm going to have him teach 1 Corinthians 12, the first seven verses, because if we don't get these verses right, we will misuse what God has for us. You know, like Pete was saying, there's different beliefs. There's a cessationist, which they believe after the book of Acts, the gifts ceased. Now, the Bible never says that. And then you have Pentecost, and like Pete was saying, we've never been a church that leans toward Pentecostalism. I would say we're a conservative, charismatic church, but I have Pentecostal friends that will say, if you don't speak in tongues, you won't have the Holy Spirit. Now, you can't tell me the gifts ended after the book of Acts, because the Bible doesn't say that. Neither can you tell me that you have to do this one thing to have the Holy Spirit. We have to be careful. Now, I've been praying about this for a couple of years and a couple of weeks ago, as I was going through what I want to do in the next few months talk about, I'm going to tell you what happened. About a week last weekend, God brought me up short and said, do not teach what I'm not asking you to teach. So what I am going to teach is love. Because this world needs to know love. You know, in 2019, the song Something by the Beatles was labeled the greatest love song of all times. They also had an amazing song, All You Need Is Love. Da 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 da. Okay, let's start. No, anyways, love is something we all desire. Love is something we all need. That woman that was checking people out, she understood, you know what, Melody Beaumont is a safe person who really cares for me. That opens the doors. You know, we get so caught up in life, and I mean, you know, let me tell you, as I've been studying 1 Corinthians 13, I've been convicted, hook, line, and sinker, because I see places in my life I am too full of me, way too full of me. I'm way too full of my opinions. You know, so I'm starting this series on advancing God because I want to look at what is God's plan for the church. And you know what I understand? We have different beliefs in this room even. That's okay. You know, I was at an OEA meeting, a Oswego pastors meeting this week, and you have Reformed Presbyterians that believe something, you have Elam that believe something else a little bit, and you have the Alliance Church, and you have New Covenant, and you have the Salvation Army. But we all get along because we're going to focus on the gospel. I am praying, what is our future? You know, we're doing a big building project. We're going to put about $30,000 into it. We bought this big screen system, which is expensive. We're doing, the electrical is expensive. But you know what? We're looking at the future. We're looking, how do we move forward? You know, what we're putting into the church, we can take with us if God ever, I hope, moves us to another building, but he may not, and I'm okay with that. But I say, Lord, how do we move forward, and how do we position ourselves? And the one thing that I know, love is the greatest. God tells me that. Think about what he says in Corinthians. And I'm going to say this, you can have a bunch of gifts, etc., but it is useless without love. How dare you say that? I didn't. God did. So we have to have love. We have to emphasize what God emphasizes. Like I said, I had this in plan. I had totally different title for this series, but last week, and I just felt like God said, stop. Spend time with me. It's okay who God made me to be and moving forward. But the thing is, I want to see an impact. You know, I'm looking at, like, you know, the Second Chances downstairs, and I'm looking at different ministries in the city. I'm looking at this young man who died who came from a family of substance abusers. And I'm saying, Lord, how do we impact those people? Life is not neat and clean. You know, a couple weeks ago, Melody and I helped out at this, you know, foster life thing at CMA, and we found something out. Man, we're old. You hang out with a bunch of young kids for three. I slept until 4:47 Sunday morning. I don't sleep more than an hour and a half at a time usually. But I'm looking at that ministry. This is a ministry that people are called to. You know, it's like when Wade Smith started Bridge to Hope, because we've been meeting together every week for 14 years. I really prayed, Lord, am I supposed to be a part of this? This is really important. But God clearly said, no. We support it, don't get me wrong, but I'm not supposed to roll up my sleeves and be a part of it. So, you know, last week, if you remember, on Mother's Day, what did I talk about? The importance of making an impact. You know, I told you the story of a friend of mine that lost neighbors as friends because he put up a political flag. I would rather lose friends because I put up a Jesus flag. Come on. We get way too political, because I'm going to tell you what we need in this country. It's called Jesus Christ. So I talked last week about how the importance of making an impact personally. Character matters. And this is what this chapter talks about. Before your abilities, before your gifting, before your intelligence, before whatever, your character matters. So we need to keep our eyes focused on God. You know, I realize one thing. Outside of Jesus, I ain't nothing. I am absolutely nothing. It was a tough weekend. I'm a Bruins fan. Boston Bruins, we're now out of the playoffs. I've been a Knicks fan since like 1970. Half their team's hurt. We might be done today. So you can pray for me if that happens. You can have all this talent in the world. You can be a Knicks fan. You can say, man, we're really cooking this year. Injury. You ain't promised tomorrow. This is why we talk and we look at stuff like this, because we're not promised tomorrow. And how can I impact people? You know, the new Bible commentary states, nothing is gained if love is absent. You know why I started coming to New Covenant Community Church in November of 1980, right after we got married? Because you guys cared for us. You didn't talk at me, you talked with me. You invite us to have a cup of coffee or a bagel or something, and wow, these people really care. That impacts, because people know genuine. If you hang around little kids, I'm sorry, they know the BS meter. So if you're not real, it really crops up. So this is what our gift of New Covenant is, and God is saying, you know what, it's time to amp it up. You know, Paul lays the foundation for what a church has to build upon. We need to live God's way, and we need to love God's way, which draws people to Jesus Christ. One commentary I read stated, the love of a Christian needs to be patient, it needs to be persevering, it needs to be courageous. George Mueller says, if the Holy Spirit guides us, he will do it according to the scriptures and never contrary to them. That's something we have to learn. I read 1 Corinthians 13 all the time, the love chapter, and you know, I need help. Now, today we're going to talk about filled and flowing. You know, verses 4 through 7, they tell us what we need to move away from. Let's go back some. Wow. Look at those words. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. Philippians 4:13 tells me. Paul, Warren Wiersbe talked about this chapter, that Paul is addressing the abuse of gifts, division in the church, selfishness, which resulted in lawsuits, impatience, and disgraceful behavior that occurred in the church of Corinth. If we want to move the needle for God, we need humility and we need unity. So the goal of this series is to develop discipleship, be encouraged to set ourselves apart for Christ, to allow him to transform us, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's a process we have to give ourselves over to. It's not that God's going to give us the Vulcan, whatever they call it, mind grip, whatever, and the next thing you know, you're an amazing Christian. You have to give yourself over to the Word of God. You need to read the Word of God. Bill spoke on that a couple weeks ago. You need to embrace it and live it. You need to read through 1 Corinthians 13 and say, Lord, am I patient? Goodness gracious, I need to grow in that area. Am I kind? Jesus was kind. Treat people the way you want to be treated. We need to be sanctified. We need to be set apart for Christ. We need to not be jealous. We need not to boast. Paul says, I will boast of one thing, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't be arrogant. You can't be rude. That turns people off. Verse 5 says, let me get back to this. Love doesn't insist on its own way. I fail miserably at that verse because I have opinions and I have arrogance. And that says my opinion's right. I mean, everybody's welcome to their own opinion. You have the right to be wrong. So when I read this verse, I said, Lord, I need your help. You know, these verses aren't meant to discourage us. They're meant to encourage us to aim at what God wants us to be. And if we don't have this as our blueprint, as our thumbprint, then you know what? Then we're just going to be noise in the wind. I have been crucified with Christ. If you've been doing Bible studies with me, you're probably tired of hearing this voice, this verse, but I don't care. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me, Paul writes. As I pray for this church, I am excited. God wants you to believe. He's empowered each one of you. He's gifted you to be you. You weren't an accident. I'm an Irish twin. My brother's 11 months older than me. I was an oops baby. And if you're old enough to know what I'm talking about, when my mama was pregnant, the rabbit didn't die. Maybe Taney and Janet Beaumont didn't plan this kid, but the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords did. You guys are here for a reason. What God is saying to New Covenant Community Church, the more you fill yourself up with me, the more I'm going to move, the more you're going to see the dramatic happen. You're going to see miracles. You're going to see God move powerfully. But we need to have Jesus Christ as our agenda. Living life God's way, showing his love by how we live, will be the biggest influence in our community and an impact for Christ. You know, I gave the story before, but when I was called to the North Country, I inherited a church that was dysfunctional and disunified. And when I got there, the Lord gave me one command: evangelize this church. I didn't understand what that meant, but I knew the church, the one I had, was about the size of this room. He could spit over there, and he could hit somebody, and I'd say, hey, do you know Dave Perrotty? He'd go, no, I don't. You've been in church together for 10 years. How do you not know him? So we started evangelizing the church. We started doing socials one summer night. I did this really huge ice cream social, and the power went off an hour before everybody showed up, and I gave kids cartons of ice cream. Says, Mama, I don't care. This is melting. He can eat the whole stinking thing. So we started doing stuff like that, and pretty soon I go to a wedding, and I'm talking to somebody. Oh, where are you from? I said, yeah, I go to River Life Church. She goes, hey, they really love each other. And we started pouring into the community, and we went from being a cult being somebody that the church reached out to. The school said, hey, would you come and pray at our alumni banquet? I got to sit at the head table all night long after a 30-second prayer, because you know I don't go long. I hated it. I'd rather be in the back. But I got to eat first, so there was a blessing to that. Calvin and Hobbes. Hobbes, do you think our morality is defined by our actions or by what's in our heart? I think our actions show what's in our heart. I resent that. I did that out of order because I wanted to. Imprints of the Lord. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, it endures all things. You know what? I had this guy in the other church. He was a pain in my neck. I said, Lord, take him home. Now. I had one pastor actually tell me, I pray either move in him, Lord, or move him on. So I'm praying for this guy. Move him, Lord. Two words came to me, God said. Long suffering. Do you think that gave me a joyful spirit? It humbled me. God puts people in our life that grade us the wrong way. Love bears all things. That means forbearance. That means long suffering. That means it's not going to go your way. You're not going to like this person. They're not going to believe everything you say. It doesn't matter. God says, lay it aside and bear up. It believes all things. What does that mean? It doesn't mean you're an idiot that believes that, hey, the moon is green. Hey, I believe that. It means you believe the best for the other person. You don't try to judge their agenda. You don't try to look at their motivation. But yes, you do use sound judgment. But you hope the best for them. You know, we can look at Christians that we look at, I really wish they would eat more meat, as Hebrews says, and not drink milk for 38 years. But we have to believe the best for them. We have to pray for them. We have to know that God moves. He moved powerfully in my life after years. I said, no, one through the physical thing where he healed me, and another thing where he said, it's time for you to get over your insecurity and do the call I've called on your life. Love hopes all things. You know, the enemy is God of hopelessness. I had an uncle accepted the Lord a few weeks before he died of cancer. Actually, he died of lead poisoning, but I'm not going there. I had shared with him. I devastated how he took his own life. So I remember I'm talking to my pastor, Pete Mayer, about it. Because I had to do this funeral, part help with it. And he said, you know what? He was alone. He accepted the Lord. God's not a God of hopelessness, but that's what he knew. See, my God is a God of hope. That's where I want to make a difference in this world. I want to make a difference where people can see I got something to cling to even when life stinks. You know, Paul was showing the Corinthians that behavior has to live up and line up to what we believe. And that has to be with us. We can't leave those doors and live the way we want to live. I need to be crucified with Christ. And I know one thing, loving people God's way weakens the temptation to be selfish. Is there somebody in your life right now you can't stand because you're having a problem with them? Do not raise your hand. I saw that, but I don't say anything, Sheridan, because they all could do it. Pray for them. Pray for that person. The person that I prayed, Lord, move him on. And I'm going to be honest, it got to so bad that he left the church. I don't dance. That man left my office and I did a jig for Jesus. Because I knew God was setting us free. Because God gave a word that said, I'm going to get rid of those that don't have the vision I've implanted in this church. And 4 months later, we went from a church of 100 to a church of 65 in 2.5 weeks. But we had fruit that was going forward. So, you know what I did when that guy left? Lord said, good, now you're going to pray for him. Because there were rumors about me and my wife. It was, Lord, what do I do? And because I like to defend myself. I like to talk. Y'all, well, not maybe. Sue shaking her head, yes, don't know why. But I like to talk. You know what God said to me? Don't say a word. Let me defend you. And he did. And it came around. You know that guy you don't like? Let's face it, I didn't like him. People freak out when I say that as a pastor. There's personalities I couldn't stand before I got saved. After I got saved, still don't care for them. Oh, don't shake your head. You're the same way, you little boogers, you. But anyways, God said, pray for him. And my man, Joseph Finocchi, you know what he taught me years ago? Sometimes the innocent apologize to the guilty for the sake of the kingdom of God. So I saw his family at a conference. I was pastoring here. I went to a conference in Watertown. There they were. You can forgive people, but when you see them, you still cringe sometimes. Well, at least I do. God said, go apologize. I said, for what? I said, you know what? I know you've been through a hard time. I want to apologize for that. I didn't apologize for what I did because I knew it was the Lord. But I'm breaking down barriers. Because I want God to know I am crucified with him. I'm not saying we neglect ourselves. I'm just saying you can't live your life focused on yourself. Yes, we're going to read 1 Corinthians 13. We're going to see where we fall short. But be encouraged that God reveals that to us. Because we're going to grow. Some of you may not remember being in college. The worst day of my life was the first day of class when they give you a syllabus. And you want to stand up and say, Professor, I got 4 other classes. Will you get over yourself? But what he did was, this is what I'm going to teach you in the next, 15 weeks. Oh, you're discouraged that first day because you're overwhelmed. You read 1 Corinthians 13 and you get overwhelmed the places you fall short. But you say, no. Through the work of the Holy Spirit in my life, that's going to be who I am. Verse 12 says, for now we see, but through a glass dimly, then face to face. Don't take yourself too seriously. Turn to the person next to you and say, you can be wrong. And you will be, because I have been. So maybe you hear something you don't agree with. You can be wrong. I like what George said a couple weeks ago, because we got people, they love end times. Oh my gosh, I've been reading so much end time stuff lately. I like what he said, because it's so true. He said, I'm going to do a 5-week series on the end times, and at the end I'm going to say, you're wrong, I'm wrong, let's talk about Jesus. That's really it. You know, I'm doing a Bible study on Romans with some friends, and we're reading about these two cities. And in my NIV study Bible, or two people, I'm sorry, it says, this is not talking about two regions. It's talking about these two people. So then I go to my Logos Bible study online, and I open it up, and goes, this is not talking about two people. It's talking about two regions. I know people that think we're in 1,000-year times. I want to play with your head, some of you, but I'm not going to do that. What am I going to say? Joel Grootman said it once, we're going to die and go to heaven and see how wrong we were in some things. I hang on loosely to a lot of things, not the truth of God, but to things that I have opinions on. You see, because I read these, I see but through a glass dimly, but one thing I do not see through a glass dimly on is how I'm supposed to interact with people and show them the love of Jesus Christ. Paul is saying the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. I could ask you, who is Israel? Is it a church? Some of you are going to tell me I'm up nuts in the head. I don't know who it is. God's going to show me. I just know I'm supposed to live today like Jesus is coming back. And I'm supposed to portray that to people. I want to go down swinging. I want to take as many people with me as I can. You see, God's love has to be evident in our life. The world has to see how awesome it is. The world has to say, hey, I was thinking of you because I was in trouble. And you were kind to me. And you're always nice to me. And I know that in the middle of a checkout line, I can tell you, I believe in the power of prayer. Would you pray for me? That's the world we have to live in. You can read the world, you can read the news, and you can see what's happening, and you can see the pitiful prejudice against Israel and Jews that for some reason a vast population in our country thinks it's okay about, and we can get upset, and we should, but we have to keep our eyes on Jesus Christ. I think our actions show what's in our hearts. That has to be who we are, people. As we go through and we move forward, we need to get excited. You know, the summary, everything Jesus Christ did pointed people to God. 1 Corinthians 13 is key to Christian discipleship. We need to frequently read and reflect on this chapter. So now, faith, hope, and love abides, these three. Faith is important, so is hope. But the King of Kings is saying to you and to me today, the greatest of these is love. So Father, I thank you for who you're making us to be. It's okay. I read these verses, Lord, and it is so easy for me to see where I get jealous. I get envious. I don't always believe the best for people. I let negativity come into my thinking. Once I open that door, I go downhill. You tell us not to do that. Tell us to believe, to think about what is good and right. I want to represent you, Jesus. I'm tired of representing me. I do that far too often. And I can come across as crass and arrogant, and please forgive me for that. We're not going to compromise and wink at sin. We're not going to say sin is okay. But we will interact with people in a way that shows your love. It doesn't bring me anything but a challenge when I read the verse that says, love your enemies. Did you mean that? I mean, did you mean that for me? But you did, Lord. Because I'm supposed to give it all over to you. Paul writes, he's crucified with you, Lord. That means he turned his life over to you. It's hard. The plans, I make plans for my life, but I hold them loosely. I laugh at the times that I've been wrong. But Lord, New Covenant Community Church, is a church that cares, is a church that knows how to relate to people, Father God. And I just see that you're pulling back the door and you're saying, you know what, I'm calling you guys out. I've made you for a reason. I have given you different abilities, different gifts to bring glory to Jesus Christ. Lord, we need to be safe. I have felt for years we're supposed to be a spiritual hospital. Hospitals get people that are hurting, people that are terminal. It gets ugly. But we have to be safe, Lord, which means they have to know we're going to speak the truth to them. But everything we do needs to be based on the foundation of your love. Lord, all you need is love. Beatles might have sang that. Something, that might be a great love song. But I know the shallowness of human love. I want to go to the one who the Bible tells me God is love. You created love, God. I don't want to give people counterfeits. I want you to fill me. I want you to convict me. I want you to show me in your word the places where I fall short, not to beat me up, but to give me a hand up as, come on, my way is going to be so much better. So, Lord, let us be encouraged today. Let us read 1 Corinthians 13 this week. And let us pray for the places and where we're good. We're okay in some of this, but we need to improve in others, Lord. Let us be encouraged that you are saying that you love us. We're to go and do likewise. For the greatest of these is indeed love. I thank you for this church, Lord. Thank you for the prayer needs that we gave. I do pray, Lord, that in a world that is fallen and broken, that we would interact in a way that reflects you, Lord. I like this one song that says, Lord, break our hearts with what breaks yours. Give us your compassion for this world. And let us not leave here listening to the lie that I used to tell myself, well, this is who I am. Because I remember the time I said that in prayer and you said, rebuked me and said, it's not who you are. I want to reflect you, not me, Lord. Bless these mighty and awesome people in Jesus' name. They said, amen. Have a great day.